Hello out there, and welcome to IMPACT, the official podcast of Drexel University School of Education's Education Doctorate Program. I'm Dr. Deanna Hill, here with my podcasting partner, Dr. Stephanie Smith-Budai, and we're pleased to have Dr. Stacey McAfee join us today on IMPACT. Dr. McAfee most recently served as the president of the public university in the Cayman Islands. Since returning to the U.S., Dr. McAfee has been consulting and is part of a steering committee working on the development and design of an educational institution that will serve the needs of the tech sector. We're very excited to have Dr. McAfee as a guest today to learn about the impact that her Drexel EDD has had on her leadership and scholarship. So, Dr. McAfee, tell us about what you've been up to professionally since you graduated with your EDD in Educational Leadership and Management from Drexel.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm excited to share that since completing my EDD with Drexel, I was able to accomplish my penultimate career goal. I had a stated goal of becoming a university president and really had that in mind when I enrolled at Drexel. And as a result, after I finished my EDD, I was nominated to attend a program conducted by the Council of Independent Colleges that actually gives you the opportunity to explore your potential calling to serve as a college or university president. And the program was designed to help participants like me explore their vocational calling and examine what types of institutional missions I might serve best. In a nutshell, fit matters. And so after this discernment process and year-long program, I accepted a presidency leading the public university that serves approximately 2,000 students in the Cayman Islands. It was a unique opportunity that personally inspired me because it was the only comprehensive university in that nation. The work was truly nation building, and transformative change was desired to address social justice issues and opportunities serving low-income first-generation students of color. It was not only an amazing first presidency for me, but given that it was during COVID in an international setting, I learned a great deal, and my education and the currency of that education was so helpful for me in leading that institution through unprecedented times. So I found time while I was there to publish, contributing to a chapter in a book on Caribbean education, and am also currently consulting and working as well on some fun startup opportunities and doing a little bit of publishing in a journal article. So I've been busy and really grateful for what Drexel has equipped me to do.
That's a wonderful introduction, and you have been busy, and congratulations for reaching that penultimate goal.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. And so you have been very busy since completing your EDD. And as you are aware, the Drexel EDD in Educational Leadership and Management is designed to prepare scholarly practitioners to identify and address problems of practice in their own professional context. So what made the Drexel EDD appealing to you, and what were you looking for in a doctoral program when you decided on Drexel?
Well, great question. So first and foremost, before I enrolled at Drexel, I'd been on a path with a desire to earn my doctoral degree for, frankly, almost a couple decades. Family matters and moves took me off course, but I had a colleague, Alex Tagavian, who had entered the Drexel EDD program, and he highly recommended it to me. In fact, tried to get me to enroll with him, and I just couldn't do so at that time because of sort of an executive level promotion that I had just taken. But he stayed close to me over a period of a couple years as he was attending the program, and made sure that I did not lose sight of my goal of attending. And what appealed to me most about the Drexel EDD program was, first and foremost, its hybrid format. The composition of the faculty, a mix of more traditional wonderful faculty, as well as some incredibly strong adjunct faculty. The fact that I was going to be a part of a working professional cohort, and it was hard to really not appreciate the incredible reputation of Drexel internationally and across the US for both their scholarly research, but also the practical application within the communities that it serves. So for me, as I was an executive in higher education at that time, I loved the fact that the upper level coursework was very detailed and specific in higher education, and it would allow me to access a breadth of coursework and work with faculty both locally as well as in Philly to get the concentration and the specific development that I needed. And it was a winning combination for me. I had excellent faculty here in Sacramento, including the program director, Dr. Ed Bureau, and my talented dissertation chair, Dr. Kathy Geller. So I wanted to be challenged and supported, and I can truly say that I was.
That's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Well, really a perfect segue to the next question, because you know, when you think about doctoral work, a lot of folks think about the doctoral dissertation. So tell us a little bit about your dissertation research. How did you come to the problem of practice you selected? What did you learn about it? And then what would you say has been the most significant impact of your dissertation?
Well, so my dissertation research focused on single head of household, low income women who were pursuing either a degree or a certificate in higher education and the unique challenges that they faced in doing so. And so I arrived at that problem because for years as an educational administrator across various different types and institutions of higher learning, I had prototyped, implemented, and studied various approaches, services, and strategies to try to positively influence outcomes for at-risk students, particularly single moms and first-generation low-income students. I felt deeply connected to them and believed that as a higher education institution, we needed to do better in serving their needs. And I had some success in my work, but felt that this problem was too complex for me to solve on my own, and I needed new resources, connections, and approaches to try to more objectively analyze research and define this problem and outline possible solutions. And the program helped me first to see myself as and become a researcher and to determine how to influence the choice of my sample group and why I was interested in studying them, and also to choose qualitative research, narrative research to be exact, for a variety of reasons. One, I wanted to know not just that people weren't succeeding, but why. So I wanted to understand the story. And I chose a narrative form of research. Storytelling is an ancient art, and I believe that stories move people. And I was truly moved by the women whose stories I told as a part of my research, and was restless to apply what I learned to a broader context. So a university presidency seemed natural with an institution that was the only comprehensive institution of higher learning on three islands, an island nation, and that I knew that the mission that we were trying to accomplish would be nation building. We weren't just one of many universities, we were the university. And so the students who were being served were low income, first gen students of color, majority female. And so I understood the risk factors and the amazing potential that we had for serving them better and for influencing the trajectory, not just of these students and their families, but also the national economy and the civic fabric of a nation. So to be honest, I felt confident that I could have impact because of how Drexel had prepared me.
Well, that's wonderful. And it really seems like your dissertation research has significance in many areas. And just based on the topic, I think it will continue to. As you know, this is a longer question, so bear with me. One of the Drexel differences is our focus on sustainable leadership. So that includes understanding how systems work and coming to understanding how one's own worldview, values, beliefs, and habits of mind influences one's leadership. So taking all of this together, how did this impact the way that you see yourself within your own professional context?
It's such an excellent question. And to be honest, it's one of the most powerful aspects of the Drexel program. And I think the difference that it can have on someone's personal and professional development. I have always relished and respected the view that systems either support or inhibit outcomes, and that one must not only understand the system that you're trying to influence and work within, but you do have to understand your own self and how you're operating within those systems. And my presidency actually was incredibly formative for me. I realized as I applied what I learned at Drexel that my American ideals, core values, and belief systems were driven by my desire for achieving, you know, education as being a vehicle for inclusion, social justice, and economic and social mobility for people. And that those were important, requisite, but not sufficient for me to affect the change that I was trying to have in another country, in a different type of educational system. And those values motivated me and defined my leadership within my sphere of influence. And it also influenced the type of transformational change that we desired to make. But at the same time, it was really necessary to step back and have a balcony view of myself and the entire system that I was operating in. And I needed to have a very pragmatic and astute view of the myriad government, political, societal, and individual interests. They were all desirous of change, but at the same time, we all had a place in reinforcing the status quo and the power structure that existed. So on a leadership level, I learned more in this role than I have in any other position. And my education buoyed me in terms of reminding me to step back regularly and have that balcony view of myself and fairly understand how my perspective limited me at times, but also that to understand what it did do for me in that system and to understand what needed to change, variables that I could influence that would likely have more of a long-term perspective and create the type of buy-in that was needed long after I left the Cayman Islands. So, you know, when I think about the impact, I think the most important change that I felt I was able to accomplish was giving voice to a group of stakeholders that were not represented in any sort of substantial way when I arrived. And it might surprise you to know that that stakeholder group were students. Students were not represented as a stakeholder, either internal or external. So we gave them voice in two ways. One, I reorganized executive leadership and created a director of student life so that we were explicitly demonstrating the representation that students had at an executive leadership level. And then we energized and empowered student government. We saw a tenfold increase in student participation in government. And we saw students engaging in university in ways that they never had before. They became respected leaders on campus and in their community. They met with me personally on a regular basis, so they saw that they mattered with executive administration. And to be honest, on another level, I also want to say that it was really important for sustainable leadership to know that the students were becoming civic leaders and not just degree holders, and that they would become the agents of change for their country. And in a nation with rising sea levels, pollution, garbage, and energy consumption, it was a small island nation at risk. And so we applied for and received grants from the EU to install solar on campus, train a solar development workforce, create a living laboratory, the first in the Caribbean, and establish a digital library to track marine biodiversity changes. And the grant established paid roles for students and faculty within these programs, and really was intended to become a model for the nation and an ongoing teaching tool for faculty in climate and sustainability.
Wow. That's amazing. And addressing issues of equity, inclusion, and social justice has really been at the core of teaching, learning, and scholarship in our EDD program. In fact, Dr. McAfee, we have revised our EDD keystones to make our commitment more explicit and visible. And you just provided a number of really important and powerful examples of how you've contributed to equity and social justice in the work that you've been doing. I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add about it, or anything that you're thinking about as you move forward in terms of your own current context.
Well, thank you. And it's really exciting to hear the continuous improvement that Drexel makes to what was already an excellent program, but bringing it into the context of what's most important. One of the courses that I took encouraged me to put myself in a variety of diverse situations outside of my comfort zone, and where my belief systems and the rules and norms were unclear to me. And to be honest, it was an important part of my development. And I think you can tell I don't shy away from opportunities that challenge me. And accepting a presidency outside the US in a British overseas territory serving students of color without an understanding of cultural norms was no small challenge. And, what I found was that there was a really important work to be done to ensure that students and Caymanian students received a quality education on island, because many who left island had the financial means to do so, but the vast majority of students were going to attend at the public university. And there was growing social unrest about ensuring that Caymanians were not only accessing wonderful jobs, but they were growing and participating in their nation and professionally in ways that expats had traditionally been doing, taking jobs. And there was a sense of maybe despair that they weren't able to compete effectively within their own nation. And so I took very seriously the importance of trying to close that gap and to make a difference for proving that there was a path forward that we could all agree on. And so we did. We made impact. We gave voice to students. We showed that there were very talented Caymanians within our university. We showcased them, we celebrated them. They went with me publicly to events, spoke with me in interviews. And I think we restored pride in the sense that they were the future of the nation and that we had to invest in them. And one thing that I would just say to you that gives me hope, and I think for all of us, we always need to be hopeful when we're dealing with complex situations, is that there was a decision and announcement made in 2021 to ensure that all Caymanians would have access to attend public university free of charge for the first 2 years. And it showed confidence in that education and on-island education was the future of the nation. And so what I learned there, I guess I would say, encourages me to understand that systems can change and that we shouldn't become discouraged if we feel that the challenges are difficult. We have the means, if we're honest, to step back and to change systems that are not working in the way that we intend them to. So for me, I will continue professionally to look for opportunities to do so.
Wow, it's a powerful message and one that I think we all need to be or need to hear and be reminded of. So thank you. So you talked a little bit about your sort of what's next for you, but tell us a little more. Where do you see yourself as you move forward, maybe within the next 5 years? What additional impact would you like to have?
Well, I definitely want to continue to put my education to use in, I guess, some ways that are surprising for me. I would say when I entered the Drexel program, I didn't really see myself as a researcher, and I didn't necessarily appreciate how important research is to problem solving. I'm very action oriented, and so I like to dig in. But what I realized is that there are some there's more work for me to do to continue to research and define why certain problems are not being solved. And, you know, I want to continue to shape educational outcomes and close gaps for underserved students. And I do feel that I have a newfound ability to more effectively define problems and do the research that is required to equip me with a base of understanding to begin from. And I realized, you know, I guess having worked internationally, that the problems are not really different in higher education. The solutions might look different. So I am going to put my research skills to use. And I also learned that my network of colleagues, both within my cohort and my faculty and other professionals, were so incredibly important to me as I worked internationally. The fact that I was able to connect to Cisco and a VP at Cisco to establish something in the Cayman Islands. The fact that I have this network of amazing subject matter experts at Drexel that I can tap into through my alumni connections, through my faculty, and through my amazingly talented cohort members. So I will continue to work on developing, I would say, less traditional educational strategy solutions and even possibly new entities that I believe can approach the work differently. Building new systems, I think, is easier sometimes than changing existing systems. So, you know, I will probably do both. but I am energized to continue the work and to do that work with my amazingly talented friends, colleagues, faculty, and group of alumni across the Drexel network to do so. So anyone who hears this podcast that wants to join me, feel free to reach out. We'll can keep doing great work on behalf of our nation and within higher education and our communities.
That's very exciting. And we look forward to following and being with you on that journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
We actually have a few lighter questions, if you don't mind.
Fine. Okay. That would be great.
All right. So these are kind of fun. So if you could choose only one, what superpower would you want to have?
I think I would want to have the superpower to be able to sort of go back in time and have one-on-one conversations with amazing people that made a difference in their time and place, just to learn from them.
That's beautiful. Spoken like a true narrative researcher. So this one might be a little harder to respond to on the spot, but how would you describe your perfect day?
Oh, well, I think my perfect day would be filled with beauty. And beauty for me comes in many forms. First of all, in an incredibly beautiful place, whether it's along the coast or in an incredible natural park, some place where the natural world that we have in front of us, that's created in such an amazing way, is present, and we're in awe of what it is. And then I would be surrounded by the people that I love the most, my husband and my children, and certainly dear friends who have blessed my life with abundance in so many ways. And we would just be together. There would be no agenda. We would have great food and great wine, because I love great wine. And we would just be enjoying the time that we have together. And we would revel in gratefulness for the lives that we get a chance to live each day.
That sounds wonderful. So last question, what has been the best live performance, a concert, a play, something like that, that you've seen recently?
Oh, well, I won't say that I've seen recently, but I have a very unique experience that still sticks with me as the most extraordinary one. I happened to be in Seattle for a short weekend I'd never visited before. And there is a venue there called Jazz Alley. I'd never been, but I'd read that it was good. And had a long, tiring day and sort of had given up on the fact that I was going to go for the venue. And my husband convinced me, let's just go. And we got there and there was a huge line waiting. We waited to get in. I'm like, come on, let's just go. And my husband's like, well, it must be good if everybody's waiting. So we went inside. It was a small venue, dinner theater. And I didn't even know who was performing. And suddenly on stage, Eartha Kitt appears. And in this intimate venue where we were one table away from her, she was the most amazing, energized, dynamic. The power that you felt that came from her, the way she performed, her confidence, her voice was amazing. But what was even better was when the concert ended, she didn't leave. She went from table to table to personally meet and thank everyone for attending. And it was shortly after that that we heard that she had passed away. And I just felt very lucky to have met such a classy and talented woman.
Wow, that gives me chills. What an amazing gift. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You are so welcome.
All right. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have EDD alumnus Dr. Stacey McAfee on Impact today. Thank you, Dr. McAfee, for sharing with us today. We're always incredibly honored and excited to hear the amazing ways our EDD alums are having an impact in the world. And you have shared such an extraordinary story today. So Dr. McAfee's bio will be posted with the link to this episode on our EDD program website. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Impact. We look forward to the next episode where we hear from other alums about the impact that earning a Drexel EDD has had on their professional practice, research, policy changes, and the larger society. Goodbye for now.